This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, Pete Thamel of Yahoo, who has been all over college football and what may or may not happen. Pete, thanks for being on this morning. How are you?
I'm great, Greg. It takes an apocalypse for college football to be talked about in Boston, and here we are. Apocalypse.
Oh, what a
well,
bummer.
You have the Big Ten is done. Looks like Pac-12 following suit.
Yep.
There are conferences which say they're going to play. What is your guess going forward when it comes to the reaction if they end up ACC, SEC end up playing football?
So in the micro, the Big 12 is kind of viewed like the swing state in the election, and last night their presidents met and they elected to push forward. And the ACC and SEC have said they're gonna try to give it a shot. In the macro, I'm pretty skeptical we're gonna see a college football season of any significance this season. I think the untenable variable that sort of loomed over this whole scenario the whole time is what happens when 20,000 students show up on campus, and even if it's a small percentage of them bring the virus with them, that's it's a pretty decent size. Sample size in a very obviously small area. And it's going to be a lot harder to, a lot of these schools have sort of created quasi bubbles and they have guys locked in. There's nobody else on campus. There's a couple schools. BC's done a great job. They've essentially not had any positive tests in a month or so. The data's been great. All that gets more difficult for places like that have really established protocols, social discipline, all that stuff. Just gets a lot harder. So I would be surprised. Some leagues could start, Greg. I don't think we're going to see anyone finish.
So, Pete, do you think this is really about player safety, or is it more about liability, or could this be also that it's a combination and there's maybe fear among some of the bigger schools or the NCAA at large that the players who really seem to be in solidarity here could be trying to push forward with that college player union that a lot of us think they would benefit from?
Yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with the player association movement that we saw the other day. That's a little conspiracy theory for me. I mean, it is a global pandemic, and one coach said it to me this way. He said, "We're doing for 3 hours a day what they're telling everyone else in America not to do," which is essentially full contact football practice. Mm-hmm. And so there is, there are some paradoxical things, but look, there's obviously the first thing people say is, well, why can the NFL do it and not college? I think people around the NFL think that this is going to be a very disruptive NFL season where all of a sudden you got to pull a couple guys from, Villanova, Salem State and UNH and put them on the offensive line for the Patriots because there's some kind of outbreak. And not just obviously in New England, but it can happen anywhere. And I really just think that, there were myriad issues, but it was always going to be a slog to get in a season amid a pandemic. And you know, that college age kids are the ones during this kind of so-called second wave. That age group has been the one that has that has really flashed in the virus numbers. So I don't think it's a huge surprise to anyone that we've gotten here. And I think liability is a huge factor. Safety is a huge factor. It's a confluence of things.
Pete, two questions here. One is, why does it seem like that this out of the blue a week ago or even 72 hours ago, up until that point, we all thought that college football was going to be played in some form. And then it was like these presidents had never even met the entire summer to discuss with the other presidents in their conferences to see what the outcome was going to be. And the second question would be, if the ACC plays like they say they're going to do, and Boston College is scheduled to host, say, Duke on September 19th, will they actually be able to do that? Like, have they even had communication with Mayor Walsh or Governor Baker to have that come to fruition?
So the first question, I don't agree with the premise. There's been a billion meetings, like constant meetings. Like, they may not have risen to your attention, but this, I mean, even the Big Ten released their schedule a week ago, and their schedule release said, this does not guarantee our schedule will be played. I don't think people were whistling in the dark here. I think it's been, you know, it's been properly stated that everyone's going to go forward pragmatically, but there has always been an overtone of pessimism about the season being played. And second, for example, one of the reasons why the Pac-12 shut down yesterday was basically the California schools are in areas that have really been ravaged by the virus. So they can't gather in groups of 50 or more like in L.A. Like, essentially, UCLA can't practice. So eventually you're not going to be able to play if you can't practice, right? And that inevitability just sort of was, you know, that inevitability just happened because there was no way for the team to gather just because of the state local restrictions there. I live in Boston. Things up here have been obviously lifted, and yeah, there are going to be state and local regulations that need to be followed everywhere. And I think Boston's probably in one of the better shapes of anyone right now, just in terms of places to be able to play with no fans. I would think that's, you know, just the way things have unfolded here. It's certainly not like, you know, it's not great, but it's much better than if you look at Houston right now or Austin or Los Angeles or some different cities. So I know BC officials have been in communication with local and government officials. And if the schedule were to be able to proceed, it's my understanding they'd be able to play with no issues.
Pete, are there D1 college coaches that you talk to who believe this is the right decision?
It's been a really interesting, really interesting to just get some windows into these guys' minds. Some guys desperately want to play, and some guys desperately don't want to play because
really?
They think it's dangerous. Yeah. It's, they obviously want to play, but considering the scenario, they don't think it's safe. So I desperately don't want to play is probably not the right term. But there's some guys that just think it's a wild idea, and they don't think it's safe. It's 130 schools. I think it's in 43 states. You have every realm of the political spectrum, every realm of the geographic spectrum. You have a little bit of everything in college football. It's one of the things that makes it great. But I would literally be talking to one coach, and he'd be passionately arguing for playing, and then another coach would call 5 minutes later, and he'd be passionately arguing to not play.
I mean, you're playing a sport in which you are assuming considerable risk to your health just by getting on the field. What if it's not the liability, what makes this different?
Yeah, I think ultimately the phrase health and safety of the student athletes has been overused so much that you know, people are snickering at it now, but I really think that's behind this. And we still, we know nothing about this virus generally, right? 4 or 5 months in, whatever we are. We know really absolutely nothing about how a virus would travel during a contact football practice. Because essentially, if they've happened in the last week or two. And so, the NFL doesn't know. I got NFL coaches texting me wondering what the college guys are doing. College guys are wondering what the NFL guys are doing. As the NFL evolves and moves on, we're going to learn a lot. Are we going to see a situation in NFL or college where one guy gets it? There's just a normal full contact padded football practice, and all of a sudden 35 guys get it. We don't know. So there's not a lot of empirical evidence about the virus in football now, and it's going to be learning on the fly, and that scares college administrators.
Pete, if the Big 12 and ACC play, will there be transfers, and what will that process look like? Do you think we'll see a talent migration to other conferences?
It's a great question. I would think that, like, when the MAC canceled the other day, within like 5 hours, a MAC assistant coach called me and said, "Yeah, we've already got schools trying to poach our guys." And I was like, "Well, that's just perfect, right?" In terms of the Big 12, ACC, and SEC, will guys go from the Big 10 there? I don't have a sense of that right now. On our podcast last night, Dan Wetzel made a great point. He said, "If you have to quarantine for 14 days when you arrive at one of these places, there's a pretty good chance the season's going to get canceled while you're in quarantine, right? And then all of a sudden you've like uprooted your life, transferred, gone to a strange place. You don't know your coaches, teammates, et cetera. All of a sudden you're sitting in Lubbock, Texas, and you've transferred somewhere formally, and then the season gets canceled. If there were going to be transfers, I would think some of them would be graduate transfers. But there is some assumed risk to go to a place where you think's going to have a season when I would say there's a fairly good chance there's not going to be a season. So that's going to be a fascinating test. And I'm sure we will see some. I don't know if we'll see a flood just because of the general pessimistic nature of the marketplace right now.
And is your best guess that some of these conferences start the season and then don't finish, or that the pressure just becomes too much and the rest of them cancel as well?
I mean, this is all a guess, right? I'm not an epidemiologist. I, you know, you can't see the future, but you have right now 4 of the 10 leagues that aren't playing. I think it's 53 of the 130 schools that have essentially canceled within 72 hours. Yeah. UMass, UConn being 2 of the independents that have gone that route. It's just hard to see that trend stopping, right? That you're gonna play a sport where 53 schools say they can't, and then the other, you know, 70 something right now think they can. It just from a pure logic perspective doesn't make a lot of sense. So if I had to guess on your question, I would guess no. I guess there's a much better chance of nobody starting the season than anybody finishing the season.
Will spring football work as an option, Pete? And what about the 2 seasons close together if they would go that route? Is there a concern about that?
2 great questions, and those are the 2 hot questions right now amongst the leagues that just canceled. Spring football could work. There has been one of the biggest leadership failures through all this in college football is that very few places really drilled down on what spring football would look like. They obviously had 3 months where this cancellation was a very viable option. And there has not been a ton of work on that, not nearly enough work on that, considering the chances of the reality of it happening. So I think it could work. I think it would look different. I think it would only be 8 games. The health concerns are huge. Nobody really dove into what it would be like to play 2 seasons in 1 calendar year, like you would essentially have to do. I do think in many ways it bleeds into 2021, which perpetuates the financial issues that this is going to cause. I mean, this is going to be massive devastation to these athletic departments financially around the country. And so, you know, one of the arguments being bantered around right now is, do you have a truncated spring and then it interrupts what you hope and pray is a quote unquote normal fall, and normal meaning fans in the stands, which is obviously a huge revenue driver, and then a full schedule. Or if you go 8 and then have to play 10 and start late and drop games. I remember an AD telling me early in this, he was kind of chuckling at all these people running around to take like 5% pay cuts or whatever it was. And, you know, he was like, we have no idea what the damage is. He said, if we just lost 2 football games, it would just be an exponential part of our budget. Never mind the whole season. Never mind the TV revenue. Never mind, like, just 2 home football games are a giant piece of budget. So, I mean, football revenue at most places, primarily because of television, accounts for about 85-90%. So you know, the loss of, and that's back of the napkin math. It varies, but, you know, it varies by places. Some places on ticket revenue alone at your Ohio States and Florida is in the $40-50 million range.
Wow. Well, they'll just crank up the tuition. That's the way they do that.
Yeah.
All right, Pete, thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right.
Thank you, Pete.
Pete Thamel, Yahoo, no college football.
Great.
Dunsky.
No.
Dunsky?
Dunsky.
That's
Dunsky.
Terrific ski.
Spring.
Dunsky.
Eight games in the spring.
And then what are you going to do? Like the Senior Bowl and every other showcase these kids have, not
push
to mention
back.
The whole season. They're not going to be able to push it back because the NFL is a monolith. This is
their feeder system. This is their free feeder system. They will bend over backwards to make college football happen.
Bring on NFL Saturday. Bring it on.
There you go. But that's just been a positive.
Ken's saying that they will bend over backwards. The NFL is already replacing Saturday with their own games. They're already taking over that vacuum.
Well, they know they can't save the fall. It's just unsavable.
Well, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. The SEC has more pros in that conference than any other conference in the country.
Did you listen to Pete? It's not happening.
I kind of tuned out halfway through.
Oh, jeez.
All right. We're going to take a break, but we will be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.